The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. It's Gil Alexander, all proudly. The show, that is, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. I am not personally brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, but the show is. We appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We'll talk to him momentarily about what he's betting this week, today and tomorrow, baseball, college football, pro football, see what's on his mind betting-wise. And Pamela Maldonado on the U.S. Open did not just my podcast, not just the Beating the Book podcast yesterday on the U.S. Open with Drew Dinsick. We've done the podcast for every slam this calendar year, and the response has been tremendous. The Beating the Book podcast feed showing tremendous numbers on the tennis podcast. So just appreciate everybody listening. Drew and Dan Weston wasn't able to join us this time, but it was just fabulous. So did that yesterday. Then I did something for the New York Post. Pamela Maldonado was kind enough, along with Minty Betts, to have me on the Yahoo U.S. Open preview. So Pam will be here momentarily to talk about some of her bets. I'll give you some of mine as well. And then Chrissy Andrews, my mishpocha. Looking forward to that. By the way, I did Will Hill's U.S. Open podcast yesterday, too. It was a big day yesterday. My mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews, a little later on the show, filling in for the old Vinny segment to close out the week. Looking forward to talking to Chrissy, the star of guessing lines, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, our pro football betting guide, I mentioned this, we talked about it many times before, is out at VSiN. Just tremendous, tremendous job once again done by Matt Eumanns and crew putting this together. It's just absolutely great. The college football guide, of course, has been out for a while. The pro football guide is just beautifully done once again. And it is available now for download. Again, got to be a subscriber, though. We'll give you all the details once again momentarily. But one of the features of this, as is always the case annually, is that a whole bunch of us at VSiN get together and put together our predictions, our preseason predictions per division, who will be the wild cards per conference, who will be the conference champions, and then ultimately the Super Bowl champion. And I'm just sort of this, you know, Femi, Bebefe did this. I did Stormy, Story about a Tony, Adam Burke, Ben Fox, Pauly, Brady Cannon, Sean King, Michael Lombardi did this. I'll go on, Steve Mackinnon, Mitch Moss, Brent Musburger, the great Brent Musburger, Mike Pritchard, Wes Reynolds, Dave Tooley, JVT, Matt Eumanns himself. Okay, and so I'm just looking at what are the most bold predictions here? How about Sean King going with the Saints to win the NFC? And how about Dave Tooley going with the Titans to win not only the AFC, but to win the Super Bowl? Oh, my God. Get Tooley on the horn. Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the podcast is The Wide World of Weingarten. Wherever podcasts are distributed, you can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. How's it going?
Going very well. You bet any baseball yet this morning?
Very, very little today. We're still dealing with that thing where the favorites start getting minus 200 handles, you know, this late in the season. But I bet a little bit on the Nationals overnight. I bet Nationals minus 129. I see that game has continued to steam. It's now minus 145. I don't like it as much there. As a rookie, though, I'm interested in watching Cade Cavalli pitch today.
Yeah. That's
and then let's see what else. I'm still dealing with some internet problems that hopefully will be fixed today.
All right.
I'm a little surprised to see the Cardinals are plus 136 against Spencer Strider.
Spencer Strider, who has just been sensational for the Braves. By the way, would you make a Braves to win that division bet? Will Hill had me on the podcast, was kind enough to have me on the New York City cast yesterday, and we were talking baseball before we talked tennis. And obviously, he caters to Mets fans, among others, but it's New York focused. But, you know, the Braves, I guess, two back now, still north of $2 to win. The Mets do have the easiest remaining schedule, but the Braves have a top third in baseball easy schedule. The differentiator, we were going through the schedule yesterday on the show, is that the Braves still have seven against the Phillies, whereas in the case of the Mets, I mean, my goodness, the only tough games they have remaining, three with the Dodgers, three with the Braves themselves, three with the Brewers. Other than that, like literally they have, what, 36 games left, and it's just an amazing amount of games against the Pirates, the Cubs, the Nationals. Is that the Athletics I see as well there? Might not be the Athletics. Rockies, I mean, Marlins, just a super easy schedule. Would you make a bet on the Braves to win that division?
I would not, but I would also say that the Mets have no excuse for not winning this division with the schedule differences down the stretch. So if the Mets don't win this division, gonna have to have some good explanation as to why they didn't.
That is for sure the case. So today, Nationals and what was the other pick? Braves.
Nationals and what did I say? Plus 136. Who did I say? I couldn't believe it was plus 136. I got to pull it up. Cardinals against the Braves.
Cardinals against the Braves. Okay. So you took the Nationals and the Cardinals. We spoke about this on the show yesterday. There are Aaron Judge to get to 62 props out there. There are, you know, how many homers will Albert Pujols land on? I don't know if you're betting either of those. But there, we also mentioned yesterday about how Paul Goldschmidt is on the cusp of leading all three Triple Crown categories. In fact, the only one he trails in now is home runs. As of this morning.
He's only down one.
Yeah, only down one. What number would you need? Again, 1967, Carl Yastrzemski, 2012, Miguel Cabrera, the last two. 45 years difference between those two. Now a 10-year gap. Can Paul Goldschmidt do this? What price would you need on the yes? Somebody's got to put out this prop. We talked about this yesterday. Somebody has to.
I mean, it's got to be pretty close. I mean, I wouldn't think it would be like a huge plus money price at this point with your one home run back. He absolutely can win the Triple Crown, and he really has, I mean, practically gone wire to wire for MVP. Hasn't slowed down all season. So, you know, he's almost locked in for the NL MVP at this point. The Triple Crown is definitely a possibility, but even if he doesn't, he's going to win the MVP.
Sure, no question about it. All right, did you bet any preseason Week 3 football, anything? You did
just
very
some teasers
well
this weekend. I haven't really gotten anything, any money lines like I did last week. The one that stands out tonight, though, is Cowboys. I like the Cowboys money line plus 240.
Plus 240 on the Cowboys. Your reasoning being?
I don't think that's a huge line for a preseason game. You want to, like, they're all coin flips.
Same,
you know what I mean?
Same,
like,
reasoning as last week. Right. It's a sort of turn off your brain play, right?
Yeah. Well, and then you could do some fun stuff with the teasers on the low totals. Seven could be pushed out pretty far. But the Seahawks, who's the Seahawks starting quarterback tonight? Geno Smith? Like, you're just gonna tell me I can get 240 on a team against Geno Smith? Okay, fine. Don't need to know anything else.
There it is, Jason Weingarten. Checking just.
I mean, I do know what's going on, but
yeah,
you know, okay. That's all I need to know.
That's all you need to know. It's that simple. Did you bet any college football?
None. I got nothing on week zero. I will. You know, everyone will have their eyes on that Hawaii late night start. I'll probably be watching Nevada, New Mexico State. Nothing super sharp week zero.
Okay. Did you any season long college football? That's not typically a sport we hear you talking about a lot.
You mean like win totals?
Win totals or futures or anything?
Yeah, I took Toledo's over. And I took the Colorado under, University of Colorado. I think it was like 2.5 or 3. I don't see where those wins come from on their schedule.
Let me go back to baseball for a second. It's now 7 and 7.5 in the AL East. Just a slow, steady creep down. Remember, it was double digits just a moment ago. By the way, 7.5 and 8 to be exact. Yankees picked up some ground on a day where not everybody was playing yesterday. Blue Jays didn't play yesterday. 7.5 and 8. What do you think? Rays are on a little bit of a streak here. Can this happen? I keep talking about this. Obviously, people thought when the Yankees won those two against the Mets, it sort of righted the ship. Do you buy that this is not going to get interesting?
I mean, seven's a pretty big gap with 39 games left or whatever. It's not impossible, but With more games against the A's and then the Angels coming up, I would imagine that the Yankees are going to capitalize on the chance to get some more separation on this road trip. So
how about
see it go back to 10.
How about, you think it'll go back to 10. How about NFL season long? Did you bet any awards? I know you do a bunch of them in baseball. Did you do anything in the NFL?
Yeah, I started taking a couple. Let's see. I took George Pickens. That number is way gone. There were a lot of people betting that. I bet Malik Willis at 50-1. If he somehow gets a starting job in Tennessee, I think he can put up big numbers. And I took Williams, the running back in Washington. You should like that one.
I do. I like that. Very nice.
I got 125-1, though. I think that's
been
cut by about 80%.
Okay, and so we said this on the Megapod the other day, not the Megapod, but on the Beating the Book season preview. We said, we sort of asked the question, hey, we're so close to the sun on this stuff, we're always asking about betting markets. What about the friend of yours that doesn't really bet, and he just comes up to you and said, who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl this year, Jason? I asked that of you. Who do you believe will be in it this year?
The Rams, I hope. So I'm rooting for.
AFC team? Yeah.
Who the Rams are going to be playing?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm going to go with the Steelers, though.
Homer on the Rams. You're going with the Steelers?
Yeah, I gotta switch it up. I mean, I like the Steelers a lot. I've followed them this preseason. They got
you back.
Got a lot of guys I like. A lot of positions.
You backing that up with a bet, or no?
Sure. Why not? I'll bet a exact Rams Rams Steelers matchup. That'll pay big.
That'll pay big. Jason will bet that.
Pay for my trip to the Super Bowl.
There you go, Jason Weingarten. Everybody at the Spreadopedia, the wide world of Weingarten. Thank you, Jason. Pamela Maldonado.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. U.S. Open next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Pro Football Guide is out now. This year's guide is packed with Super Bowl and playoff predictions, season win total best bets for every team, best ways to bet rookie quarterbacks, plus a bookmaker breakdown on what futures the public and respected bettors are making. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Elliot Bowman is in for Jeff Parlay. Jason Weingarten was just with us, and he was saying how he would take the Rams-Steelers Super Bowl matchup. What are the odds on that matchup, Elliot? What did you find on this? We need your mic on, though, Elliot. There we go. What is it again, Elliot? What is it?
Pittsburgh Rams to meet in the Super Bowl is 300-1. Rams to beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl is 500-1. So that's,
there you go,
that's a good price.
There you go, Jason Weingarten. Bet away. What was that courtesy of? What book? At DraftKings. Okay, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, she's in town. No doubt to do some U.S. Open stuff. From Yahoo Sportsbook, it's Pamela Maldonado. How you doing, Pam?
I'm doing great. We have tennis on Monday. That excites me.
Are you here to sign up for contest? What are you in town for?
I was knocking two birds with one stone. Yes, I'm registering for contest on Sunday. I wanted to do some in-studio spots while I'm here, but then I also have my bodybuilding competition on Saturday.
Wow.
So that's tomorrow. So after that, then I can focus on a little bit more on Sunday fun day.
Okay. Let's back up everything. Your bodybuilding competition.
Yes.
How long have you been doing this?
For a while. My first competition that I ever did was back in 2019. I spent the entire 2021 year building muscle, which meant I ate a lot of calories. And then since January, I've been slowly decreasing those calories to get lean, competition lean. And right now that's where I'm at. And tomorrow's the second competition of my season. I had one 3 weeks ago. I took second place.
Wow.
So tomorrow is here in Vegas off strip at the Alexis Hotel. Open invite if anybody wants to go check out a bodybuilding competition.
Wait, I'm fascinated by this. I know we're supposed to talk tennis, but wait a minute. So wait, is it parsed out by age? What are the parameters? Or is it anybody?
Different divisions. So my is bikini division. So what they are looking for in bikini is kind of that X frame. You have broad shoulders, small waist, and glutes. And then it is based off by age. So I have three categories. I'm in masters 35 and older because I'm 35 years old. Based off of my height, and then I'm doing also the open based off of my height, which is women who are all just my age. Yeah. I'm sorry, my height. And then open, which is all women regardless of height.
All right. Are you doing this for the satisfaction of winning, or are you doing this for the cash prize? Like, what are you?
There is no cash prize. It's an obsession. You have to have a. It's a true hobby. I love it, and I'm a competitor at nature, and it's all correlated. Sports betting, betting the markets, in stocks, and bodybuilding. It's all discipline.
So my buddy Todd Wishnev is in a weight loss challenge contest with Steve Fezzik. We hope to have both of them in studio next week, and you might be a good person to ask about this. It's a year. They started in May of this year. Yeah. It ends the sort of end of the road is May of next year.
That's good.
Todd was 60 pounds heavier than Steve. Oh. Todd was like close to 300, and they're both, the bet is that they both have to get down to 180, and then Steve like has to stay between 180 and 185. Should I be concerned about my friend Todd's rapid weight loss?
He's down. Generally,
he's from 300 to like 220 now.
That's
close to 220.
That is amazing to do that in 1 year. That is remarkable.
Oh, not 1 year, like 3 months.
3 months. He did.
Oh no, I mean it's June, July, August. Yeah, 3 months. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible. My concern is he doing it the healthy way? So I hope for that.
I'll tell you what his response is. His response would be like healthier than being 300 pounds. That'd be his
absolutely,
response.
Absolutely, 100%. That's a remarkable. I like those types of bets because it's motivating because there's a prize at the end of it. But then it's also at the end of it, you feel better. Look better. You feel better. You're just better.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Hope you win.
Thank you.
The U.S. Open draws came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Both on the men's and the ladies' side. Now, Pam, you are a huge Novak Djokovic fan, and as you know, Novak Djokovic, for the second time this year, not permitted to play in a major in Australia. He was actually deported from the country, arrived there and was deported. Here, he never got here, his decision to not get vaccinated. And so, with Djokovic removed from the field,
right.
Who you got?
Well, I have two in-pocket tickets that I have from earlier this year, and it is Carlos Alcaraz. I took him early in the season and prior to Roland Garros. It was right after he won Barcelona, I believe it was. And then I also have Rafa Nadal that I took early in this year, too, because after he won Australian Open, I was like, calendar slam? So I immediately bought Nadal to win the rest of the majors. And truly, at this moment, I feel like Nadal has a solid chance. And it's a funky draw, no matter which way you look at it, the top half, the bottom half, it's going to make for one interesting U.S. Open.
Nadal got such a favorable draw.
It is. It is absolutely.
It's almost, Pam, as if they knew that this could be his last U.S. Open.
Well, think about it in two ways. It is a friendly draw because he has players like Aslan Karadzev and Fabio Fognini, Kecmanovic, Jack Sock, Schwartzman. All of these players he is definitely could easily defeat. The one tricky one could be in the quarterfinal where he could meet Cam Nori. He has a 4-0 record over him. But I say that it is still a fair draw because Nadal hasn't played on hard court. He hasn't played the U.S. Open since 2019, which is the year also that he won. And then we still have those injury concerns.
The injury concerns are real.
That's always going to be a thing. So is it a friendly draw? Yes, but it is also a fair draw considering the state, his condition that he's in right now.
Yeah, I think he got the easiest path.
Absolutely.
Alcaraz in Q3, it's funny, Orkats, Sinner, and Cilic are both in there, but literally after that group of four, along with Alcaraz, it just falls off a cliff in Q3 as well. Q1 and Q2 are just a free-for-all.
I think quarter three is a little bit more difficult than what you think. I believe in the quarterfinal, it could be somebody like Jannik Sinner. Borna Cioric is definitely not somebody that you want to overlook. I know that he's coming off a big win in his career, but he was a player that was plagued by injuries. He is a counterpuncher, and counterpunchers win these major events. He is a formidable opponent, especially against Alcaraz.
Based on the draw, I love your tickets of Carlitos and Rafa. What about quarters? These are available at BetMGM. Shout out to BetMGM, non-Nevada. These are not available at BetMGM, Nevada. Shout out to Elliot Bowman for tracking these down. Mm-hmm. But literally, like we were saying, pardon me, when we were doing podcasts yesterday, we're like, everybody appears to be asleep at the wheel. Like nobody's got quarters up except for BetMGM, non-Nevada. Would you make a wager on any of these quarters? Again, my theory being, once again, that Nadal has the easiest path, and those are reflected, actually, in the numbers right here. He is plus 110 to win the fourth quarter. The next shortest shot is Cam Nori at plus 550.
Right.
Carlitos, Alcaraz, Charlie, you can call him either. Just don't call him Carlos. He's at plus 150. He's the short shot in that center, Korich, Orkots, Cilic, third quarter. And then look at those two. I mean, this is what I'm saying, the first and the second quarter, especially that second quarter. My goodness. What's your bet? If I said you must make a quarters bet here, Pam, what would you do?
It would probably be Daniil Medvedev. I know that it is. He's the favorite to win the tournament, favorite to win his quarter, but understandably so. I believe it is the correct, rightful favorite, Medvedev, not just because he's world number one, but this is a best of five tournament, and I will always give him the edge because he is the best returner in the world behind Novak Djokovic. Well, Djokovic is in here, and I know that Medvedev did just lose to Nick Kyrgios in Canada, but that is a best of three, always brings a lot more volatility, and it is a faster surface. The U.S. Open does slow down a bit, and that's a benefit to players like Medvedev, not as much of a benefit to players like Kyrgios, who need that faster surface in order for their weapons to pop. And now you put him in a best of five, Medvedev is going to figure it out. Yeah, but the game plan is out. You drop shot him, you don't play a baseline game against Medvedev. Who does he have in his quarter? Nothing but baselanders, including players like Pablo Carreño Busta.
Well, Carreño Busta at 10-1 to win that quarter.
It's
that
interesting.
Doesn't interest you at all?
Absolutely it does, because I would expect for Busta to be facing Medvedev in the quarterfinal. But I think in a best of five, and I think it definitely could go a full five, but I would still peg Medvedev to come out with a win, because Busta, I don't trust him as a player to not, I don't trust him to not play a non-baseline game. He would have to do a little bit drop shot. He would have to do a lob. He would have to bring Medvedev front and back, and that's just not part of his arsenal. So if it's a baseline versus baseline, I give it to Medvedev every time.
Yeah, the only futures play I have on the men's side was a Nick Kyrgios play at 12-1. Then there was a straight 30-1 in town, but I hate the draw. I just hate that he's in that group with Medvedev and Carreño Busta and FAA, Bautista Agut, they're all in there.
And I definitely don't believe that Kyrgios has the mental fortitude to handle a best of five here at this tournament. The U.S. Wimbledon, absolutely. You can serve all day and you're going to play a one hour and a half match. At the U.S. Open, you're going to have extended rallies a little bit, and are you going to be able to handle a full 2 weeks? And he gets frustrated. We see it every tournament. He gets frustrated, and once he realizes I can't do anything, he's going to do it in a best of five against Medvedev. I don't trust him in him. I just don't trust Nick.
Drew, Dinsick and I gave all our thoughts both on the men's side and on the women's side. I had a women's quarter bet. You'll have to go to the Beating the Book podcast, our U.S. Open tennis preview special that we did yesterday, available at the Beating the Book feed, wherever podcasts are distributed. I hinted at it earlier on the show. Hint, it was in the fourth quarter of the women's draw. Pamela Maldonado, everybody. Pam, thank you so much for stopping by, and good luck with your contest.
Thank you so much.
From Yahoo, Pamela Maldonado. Going to meet Chrissy Andrews, by the way, for the first time. My Mishpucha, Chrissy, next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Ladies and gentlemen, typically we would slow jam with Vinny, but old Maolio had a schedule change. So, isn't that what you call him? Ladies and gentlemen, instead, it's my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point.
43 years. I still can't pronounce his last name.
Maolio.
Something like that, I said.
I didn't give you a proper introduction. Chris Andrews, who runs the South Point Sportsbook. What are we calling you? Director? Is that what you're
I'm the director. I'm the Martin Scorsese of the sportsbook.
Can we share with people? I'm already overstepping, so you're going to hate me already. Can we share with people what happens on your telephone when certain people call, or are we not sharing that with people?
What do you mean? Oh. Yeah, I have ethnically coded ringtones.
I just want to point that out.
Why, you want to call me? We can show you one.
That's right.
Yours is Havanagila.
That's right. That is so messed up. By the way, to be clear, it's not just me. It's everybody who fits in my bucket. Can we call it that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are different buckets you have.
We have a few different buckets. The Greeks get Zorba.
Yeah.
The Italians get Hey Mambo.
Let's stop there.
Well.
Let's stop there.
Well, the funny. Okay.
I think we.
I was going to tell you the one funny thing, but you know it.
If it's okay to say.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. Just one day I was at home and, Vinny called me, Vic Salerno called me, Nick from Bag of Work called me. I had like about six calls. You know, Jimmy called me, whatever it was. I had like six calls in a row. Finally, my wife looks at me and goes, is that all you have is Italian friends?
I told you. Producer number three, Jorge, yeah. used to come up. We were putting descriptions of the show. And Jorge one day came and said, look, Gil, we need descriptions of the show. And I need you to give me one. And I say, look, it's Jews, Italians, and Greeks talk about sports betting. He goes, we can't put that on the website.
And you were worried about me crossing the line.
I said that to him. He was like, no, we can't do that.
No, you can't do it.
You are... Also, of course, I buried the headline. The star of guessing lines each and every Monday during the football season.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're doing it again this year for, I believe it's our 37th consecutive season.
Really? I thought it was 38. Yeah. Okay.
So I appreciate it tremendously. That's where most people know you from, of course, the famous story times. By the way, is there any book news we need to know?
Well, I'm still promoting my last book, which was Then One Year, which was about... 2020, the year in sports we had, you know, with the pandemic and just everything that went crazy that year. And sales are still pretty good. And I heard from, I did a show yesterday in Tennessee, and a guy says he loved it. You know, so guys who are like in our business, so probably guys listening to this show, they love the book. The first book was definitely broader. To a broader audience. Mm-hmm. But people who in our business, they love the book because it took them through that. It just, you know, an unbelievably crazy year. And I go through, I kept the journal day by day, not every single day, but, you know, just kept what was going on. And, there's a lot of things you'll remember and probably a lot of things you forgot in that book.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. We'll leave that for the book news for now. Okay. Another thing that's been going, first of all, preseason football here at the South Point. I've asked this in some form from Vinny when he was here, but I'll ask it of you. Increasing every year, even though we're down to 3 weeks, I guess that rules out that your handle necessarily explodes.
Yeah.
But are you seeing an incremental jump from last year's 3 weeks to this year's 3 weeks?
Well, I'm going to have to go back and look. We have not had a good year with the preseason football. We won both games last night for the first time in I don't know how long. So I know we're stuck pretty good for preseason, but I'll have to go look at the handle. And, you know, it's one of those things, too. You just kind of – you're regurgitating the same dollars back and forth. Why would they quit betting? They keep winning.
Sure.
You know, so the handle's – I don't know the exact answer, but my guess is it's really strong. I mean, it's been very, very strong.
Yeah. And it'll be up forever. There's no danger in you ever not giving out preseason action, correct?
Oh, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We keep the limits fairly low. I think, you know, we take like three dimes on the side, two on the total, you know. So, I mean, it's not huge limits.
You love the volatile line movement, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, games moved 9 points. And, of course, we lost that game, too. Yeah. I'm thinking of I think it was a New England game last week.
Which, you know, brings up the matter that we talk about every once in a while of a little something I like to call CLV.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on this subject? I always love to hear yours.
Well, I do, because I made a statement last year, and one guy in particular took it and ran with it. And I said, first of all, let me just specify. He took one little phrase that I said and ran with it completely.
Wait, you mean someone on Twitter bastardized something you said into their own agenda?
I think it's the first time ever on Twitter that something like that happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point was, okay, first of all, let me say, if you're consistently beating the closing line, you're probably a winning player.
Yes.
My point was, there's other ways to judge winning players. I have a couple guys in mind. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. Guys who I greatly respect. One guy leaps to mind. I'll tell you who it is afterwards. But he almost never beats the closing line. You know, but this guy beat me for years. He's a Reno guy, Northern Nevada guy. Beat me for years. And like I said, did he beat the closing line? Sometimes. You know, a lot of times he didn't. He just was out there handicapping and betting. It was really, really good. So I think, and I made a couple of notes because, like I said, I don't want guys taking this and running with it, you know,
God forbid.
Willy-nilly.
God forbid.
But, you know, I just said, here's the thing. Here's a couple of my points. Be careful of your assumptions. That's always... If you ever read, you know, Michael Crichton, who wrote, Jurassic Park, I've read about four or five of his books. That's always kind of a theme in his books. He's a really brilliant guy. Careful of your assumptions. And that's the assumption right now. Just that's the only way to judge players, right? And I just don't say that that's true.
Be careful of your preseason assumptions
of anything in life. Yeah. And I just say you're painting with a very broad brush there. That say this is the only way to judge, you know, whether a guy's a winning player or not. And the other thing I would say, and again, not sports is just one part of it. Be careful of things that like become the truth. Like, was this the truth 20 years ago? Nobody would have ever heard of closing line value. All of a sudden, it's the truth.
I love that.
Careful of things that become the truth.
I love that phrase.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been around a while, you know that. Yeah, so be careful of that. And here's another one. And again, I don't want to say exactly, although some people will probably be able to figure this out. Let's say you're an outfit that sells picks. And is very successful over the course of years. Okay, very successful. Now, it's hard to do it in the NFL, but let's say college football, college basketball, particularly totals, things like that, and preseason football. If you give out a side, that line is going to move.
Sure.
Okay, so win or lose, you can just say at the end, look how sharp we are.
It's CLV.
Closing line. Did you bet our opening line? CLV. You could lose. Now, you're not going to be able to keep this up for years and years if you keep losing.
Right.
But you can make that claim. You know, we beat the closing line. Yeah, because you created that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say, do you think this, you know, this thing here in Go Run, this is like the most efficient market in the world? It's perfectly efficient. At the end of the day, the closing line, this is the exact perfect number. No questions asked. For the NFL, you're probably right. But for, you know, college basketball or baseball or, you know, I mean, I think that, like I said, you're just painting with a very, very broad brush. If you consistently beat the closing line, and Spanky, good friend, tremendously successful. A really, really smart guy. You know, and he preaches that. He wants to beat the closing line. That's his criteria. I wouldn't argue with Spanky. Like I said, he's been tremendously successful, made a lot of money in this business.
Yeah.
But I just think there's other ways to judge it. And that was my point.
I love that. That's about the most thorough, most sort of level-headed, you know, explanation of it, I think, that I've heard. Certainly none better than that. The what I used to say is I was reared on the old Simon Noble, Elihu Foistel, Pinnacle newsletter. I know you have your thoughts on Pinnacle. But that was essentially what they're saying. The rate at which you can beat the closing line, that is a very solid predictor of your future success.
Yeah.
If I go 15-0 and you go 7-8, but you're crushing the closing line and I'm not, you're probably more predictive of being a more successful sports bettor than I am, who just might have gotten lucky at 15-0, right? So there's that. But it doesn't mean, because I love your line when I first talked to you about this some years ago, you're like, Gilly, you know what? You know what's a good indicator of a future of a good sports bettor? Someone who's crushing me.
So, like I said, I have a guy in mind.
Right.
I don't know if he'd be listening. You know, we were sort of friends.
Yeah.
But this guy beat the hell out of me for years, and he didn't always beat the closing line, but he was a sharp, sharp handicapper.
Because some handicappers' numbers are just going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can be confident.
He wasn't betting a lot of NFL. He was betting like obscure.
We're not talking about the NFL.
Yeah, obscure college basketball, college football games, you know, a lot of totals and stuff like that. Did he always beat the closing line? Probably no more than 50%. You know, but he beat me, and he was a professional bettor. And, you know, I know the guy got a nice big house and everything else. You know, a lot of it was from my money. You know, but he's the guy I put in that category.
Yeah. And your profiling is here at a place like the South One is not done with necessarily the sophistication of a back end where you're monitoring. You do it by sight typically.
Yeah. I have guys, I check their accounts and see if they win and you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, you could always have a winning year or winning season. Like I said, I could flip a coin and tell it, I'm like 10-1, it's ahead. Heads. Oh, I'm the sharpest guy in the world. Not really.
My mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, director, South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. More with Chrissy on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Chrissy Andrews is here as well. Elliot, I mentioned earlier that I was going to send people to the Beating the Book podcast for a my quarterly tennis recommendation. I'll give it out here. I'm gonna not say it here. Ludmila Samsonova, who I mentioned I have in the match today that she's playing. I also like her in the fourth quarter. Again, much like Rafa Nadal got the easiest draw, as if the open draw committee there, I believe that's the correct title, knew that this could possibly be Rafa's final U.S. Open. They absolutely know that it's Serena's final U.S. Open, and boy, did she get a favorable draw. She was in the fourth quarter. I would set the wins on Serena here at 1.5, but if she somehow can win her second round match, it could be a whole week of Serena. But I've got Ludmila Samsonova at 8-1 in the fourth quarter. That would be my play. Ludmila Samsonova, whose hard court numbers are spectacular, right now really flying under the radar. I would take that bet, 8-1. But again, shout out to BetMGM, non-Nevada. They're the only ones that seem to have these up right now. So Samsonova, 8-1, fourth quarter, ladies side, U.S. Open. That would be my play. Hello, sir.
Hey.
You have put up a whole bunch of new stuff here at the South Point. You ever called the South Point, by the way?
Never.
I try to, like, jazz it up a little bit. You think Michael Gaughan would be like, who are you again? By the way, when I pass Michael Gaughan, there's this vague familiarity with me. He goes, okay, never mind. And he just walks by.
I've seen you around.
You look familiar. What did you put up? Both college football? You did some head-to-heads in pro football? Tell us.
Head-to-heads. And I had some help from a couple guys that I put up props. And we did it last year. It was really tremendously successful. Got a lot of play on it. Already we've had quite a bit of play. So I got, 8 quarterback matchups, you know, like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I tried to find ones that had...
Talking about yards now?
This is touchdown passes.
Touchdown passes. Okay.
Touchdown passes for quarterbacks. Then for running backs, yards.
Give us the line on the Brady one.
Well, I opened at Pick'em, but I got bet on Brady, so I'm up to a half.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep everything at -110.
Okay.
And we try to do that all the time.
That's
here.
South Point policy. South Point.
We try to. I mean, sometimes we have to finagle a little bit, but not yet.
Right.
So, you know, Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Pick 'em. That's a good matchup to AFC West.
I like it.
Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford squaring off week one. I put it up Pick 'em. I like Allen a little bit, but you know, Stafford has a lot of weapons too.
As long as the elbow's fine.
Yeah, I know. That's a question mark. Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Derek Carr and Russell Wilson. Another AFC West matchup.
I like him.
Yeah.
How much you taking on these?
Two dimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa.
Forever linked.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson. I opened that 2.5. I'm up to Cousins 4.
These are touchdown passes.
Touchdown passes.
So not yards. Touchdown passes.
Kyler Murray and Matt Ryan.
Boy, that's the wild card one.
Yeah,
of them
that's
all.
The old war horse against the up and comer.
Where do you stand on Kyler Murray?
I've said it from the beginning. I'm not crazy about him. I think he'll have probably the best highlight reel of any quarterback in the NFL this year. But that doesn't mean you can consistently win. I mean, he's just too little. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way the NFL is.
He's like the hardest quarterback, and maybe them by extension, the Arizona Cardinals, the hardest team to wrap my arms around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the coach. I've told you that from the beginning, too. Yep. I don't like Kingsbury. You know, I thought, you know, Murray, like I said, a tremendous talent, you know, but does he have that consistency play to play to play? You know, you look at, you know, Tom Brady, is he like this unbelievable talent? No, but he's tremendously accurate, and he gives you consistency, you know, when you need it. And I'm not sure Kyler Murray can do that. I don't think he can.
Would it shock you if with all the injuries, since you bring up Tom Brady, because of all the injuries around him, specifically on the offensive line, but also at receiver, if now that he's 45, if finally we see some kind of drop off in play? Like, I wouldn't be shocked, would you?
No, but I mean, I remember, what year was it? We're on to Cincinnati. What year was that? It's got to be like close to 10 years ago. He was 35.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and we, you know.
That is amazing. He was 35.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody said, if you just took his career in his 20s, Hall of Famer. Just took his career in the 30s, Hall of Famer. Took his career in the 40s. Probably a Hall of Famer with that, too. Just any one of those little segments. I mean, I have yet to see this guy. I mean, you know, look at Peyton Manning. His last year, and I know they won the Super Bowl.
It was hard to watch.
But his team carried him. And Peyton will be the first guy to tell you.
But he is among a list of endless amount of quarterbacks that was their John Elway, right? Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Jim Kelly, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them at the end. Can they still play? Yeah, they can still play, but they weren't nearly what they were.
But
Danny Marino.
Peyton was tough to watch.
He really fell. Well, he had that neck injury that finally came to roost and took him out of there. But Tom Brady, I've yet to see any chink in the armor whatsoever. I just haven't seen it. I mean, you know, eventually it's going to happen to everybody, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Threw more passes last year than anybody. I know they were a lot of them were of the short variety, but still. Did you have some college football ones you were talking about also that you put up?
We put up college season win totals. We use conference games only. It's a little something unique, and we're doing a tremendous amount of business there. What I like about it is, you know, the arbitragers that are out there, but, you know, they're not going to play with us unless they have some really unique angle. So most of the guys betting us, they're making real actual bets. And we've done a lot of business here. We put up, I got that four-way prop. I can't remember who else in, but
Football prop you're talking about.
Yeah, college football. I got the field is one of them. And I'm getting some money on the field, actually.
One of them, Ohio State and Clemson are in the same bucket.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting one.
And then I got,
one.
You know, Bama's one, Ohio State and Clemson, you know, and then Georgia in the other one. I think those three are certainly, and I think Ohio State and Alabama are heads above everybody. Georgia a notch down, but a big drop off to the fourth best team. But, you know, it's a long season. We'll see what happens.
I ask you this in some form in the past, but we haven't spoken here in a while. You used to answer this by saying people's willingness to bet on the money line. And the question is, sorry, I'm doing this in Jeopardy form. I don't know why I am. But the question is, what's the biggest change you've seen in the behavior of sports bettors through the years that is really pronounced now that just didn't used to be the case? And you used to say it's the willingness to just lay the wood on money lines or money line parlays or whatever.
Yeah, lay or take. You know, I mean, when I first started in this business, I'm not even sure we had money lines. You know, most of the time they started coming in a little bit. Like I said, I started in 79. Probably by 81, 82, 83, somewhere in there, money lines became, you know, fairly prominent. But even then, you know, you didn't have it in every game, you know. And I know even now, God drives me crazy. There's a place I know. If it's under three, we don't put up the money line. Why not?
What?
You know, or in the NFL. Well, if it's over, if it's double digits, we don't put up the money line. Have you ever watched an NFL game? There's upsets all the time.
Are you familiar with this sport?
Yeah. So, I mean, I see a lot of that. So it's still, you know, for some places, and this one's kind of backwards. I'll tell you who that is later. You know, I think they leave a lot of money on the table. But, you know, that's the money line, and I still maintain that same thing. The other thing is a lot of props. You know, we're doing a lot of business on props, and we try to be unique in what we put up. And I see, like, you know, Westgate puts up their props. You know, they have their own uniqueness, and other places do that too. But we have ours, and you know, they're different than anybody else's. You know, and we try to do that on a consistent basis, and that's getting a lot of play now too.
And the parlay cards still get tons of action.
Yeah, I even put out a parlay card for this week. You know, even though there's only seven games, I put them out just to get everybody used to. Yeah, we're gonna have parlay cards, and plus we kind of needed a because I got a lot of new people. So I wanted to put it out there and get my people used to, you know, doing some of the things that they hadn't done in the past.
So guessing lines, for those who are unfamiliar, we hearken back. It's sort of a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same kind, which featured Roxy back in the day, where I go in a cocoon each and every Sunday evening. I'm doing, you know, just trying to get together all the details for guessing lines in the morning. I'm not looking at lines. And I come in here and we go one by one. And I guess what I think it should be as a sports bettor. And you tell us, you haven't put them up on the South Point board. You tell us what you are going to do with the line. And hopefully in that exercise, you know, there is some opportunity to actually gain some value. See, I was calling you. I wanted to do this. And
yeah,
now
we've
there's
given
no...
out a lot of it. We've
I tried.
Oh, you know, I turned my ringer off.
I wanted everybody to hear it.
We'll do it next week. How's
I hate
that?
It when you don't come to rehearsal, Chris. Oh, God. Chrissy Andrews, everybody. At Chris Andrews. You have your old Twitter back, right? It's good.
Yes, thank God.
Oh, no, it's not at Chris Andrews. It's at Andrews Sports.
At Andrews Sport. Yeah, at
two S's.
Yeah, at Andrews Sports. Yeah, I should probably eliminate that. I keep it because it's there.
Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.